Holy Gospel this day comes from John in the 15th chapter. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So our reading from Acts is a reading about holy interruptions. Peter does not even finish speaking before the Holy Spirit barges in, falling on those that have gathered to listen to Peter tell his story about Jesus. The Spirit is then so powerful that the people gathered there start speaking in tongues and praising God. There's a backstory to this little passage. They're in the home of a man named Cornelius, and he is a Roman army commander, and he's gathered his family and friends there. They are what we call Gentiles in the scripture, what the scripture calls Gentiles, meaning that they are not a part of the people of Israel. They do not come from the Jewish tradition. And at this time, Jews adhere to really strict rules about eating and associating with Gentiles. But in a vision, an angel tells Cornelius to send for Peter. And so when his emissaries show up for Peter, Peter, as you can imagine, is perhaps a little terrified as what is going on. But the Holy Spirit tells Peter, "Go with them." So he goes. He goes to the house of Cornelius, where he is there and he's gathered his family and his friends to hear about Jesus. And we might think of this story as a conversion story of Cornelius and his family, but it's also a story about Peter's own conversion. Because you see, up to this point, the Jesus movement is a Jewish one. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Sarah and Abraham, their ancestors of faith, generations before. Jesus is God's new covenant that God makes with the Jewish people. So if a Gentile wanted to enter into the community of Jesus followers, because they weren't called Christians yet at this point, if they wanted to enter into this community of Jesus followers, they had to convert to Judaism, which means that the men had to be circumcised. They all had to learn the Torah. They had to observe Sabbath laws and learn purification rites and adapt to new dietary restrictions and more. And only then could they become members of that community. But for Peter, this whole way of thinking is completely interrupted. I think it becomes this humbling aha moment for Peter when he realizes that the good news of this crucified and resurrected Lord is not bound just to the Jewish people. But no, this good news is unleashed for all people. The love and mercy of God in Christ extends beyond the cultural and religious and social boundaries. So Peter and his fellow Jews that are there and witness this, they're sort of dumbfounded and surprised when the Holy Spirit calls on this group of outsiders to belong. Because they received the gift of the Holy Spirit just as they had, just as Peter and his disciples had, which we'll read about in a few weeks. So how can there be any refusal, any objection to these Gentiles being baptized, being welcomed into the kinship of Christ when the Holy Spirit itself has chosen these people to belong? So they are baptized, and there is no jumping through hoops because God's love knows no bounds. This is also a story about our conversion too. An invitation to ponder the depth and the reach of God's love for all people, especially for people who look differently than we do, whose native language is not English, who are differently abled, who marry differently or identify differently, for people whose story includes fleeing war and violence. Because each of us has a longing to belong, that knowing that there is a place for us, that we are not the exception. And the promise of Easter is that God's love incarnate, named Jesus, has come to dwell with us, has taken on human form, and has overcome the power of sin, evil, and death by being crucified and raised up again. And this love remains with us. It's embodied here in our gathering together. This love calls you and I to belong by grace. The Apostle Paul declares to the Gentile believers in Galatia, he says this: "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, servant or free, male or female. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are no longer defined by some binary existence, no longer insiders or outsiders. You belong with your whole self. You belong in the fullness of who God has made you to be, because you are called by Jesus to belong." And at the end of the day, Jesus simply forms a community of people in which to dwell, in which to remain. Jesus is at the center of our life together, where every Sunday, Jesus pours himself out again in the hearing of Scripture and in bread and wine. Every Sunday, the Spirit of Christ says, "You belong here. There is a place for you." And the water in our baptismal font is the tangible sign of that. When we dip our hand into the water and we make the sign of the cross on our forehead, it is the tangible reminder that through water and word, you belong to God. That you are God's beloved children. And that you belong to this kinship in Christ that we share together. And the key to this community of belonging is love. This is Jesus' command from the gospel reading today. When we love, we abide in God's love. And when we love, we have friendship with God. And we have friendship with each other. The great Thomas Merton wrote this: "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy." When we stop loving others, we cease to be the church. When we stop loving others, we no longer praise God. When we build up walls to keep people out, or we hinder someone's sense of belonging, we are no longer the body of Christ, but a gathering of like-minded people bent on preserving and just affirming ourselves. The prophet Isaiah would say that we are but a clanging cymbal. Jesus would say that we've lost our saltiness. But when we love, When we love, Christ is here and present. Christ is embodied in this place, in you and I. One of my seminary professors used to say to us repeatedly, "You will never look into the eyes of someone for whom Christ did not die, for whom Christ does not love." My friends, the Holy Spirit is a unifying force, binding us together in Christ's love across boundaries and differences. And when we love each other, we indeed praise God. And Christ is resurrected in us all over again. Christ lives within you. And where there is love, there is belonging. Now, I know this is easier said than done. We will never love perfectly. But our imperfect love for God and for each other is covered by God's mercy and grace. But it's in our continual practice of love that I believe we will experience holy interruptions for ourselves, where God's love will continue to expand outwards, reshaping our notions of what it means to belong and to be loved. And I think in the words of today's psalm, this is the new song that we sing to the Lord. This is the new life that God continually grows in us and through us. Indeed, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Thanks be to God. Amen.